Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. We greet you here today. It's hump day already. Boy, this week is just flying on by, isn't it? It's already Wednesday. That means we're meeting tonight for midweek Bible study, 6 o'clock tonight. We're in Romans chapter 6. You are invited. We'd love to see you. Join us live at the church or follow us along live on our Facebook page, Island Community Church. That feed will kick off right at 6 o'clock. Either way, we invite you, and I encourage you, sit under the authority of the Word of God. Let the Word of God, let the Holy Spirit move on the inside of you, and He is going to do a great work in you when you do that. Now, we are in part two of this sermon that started yesterday on the radio, and I just preached on Sunday. And it is in the 17th chapter of John. And we're looking at the Lord Jesus prays. It's the greatest prayer in all the Bible. And it takes up one long chapter. So this is part two now of this message. This Sunday, I'll be back in the book of Revelation. I'll be in chapter 16 this week as we continue our ongoing verse-by-verse study in the book of Revelation. You're invited. But you're invited here tonight. We'd love to see you tonight for Romans chapter 6. Here now is part two of this message.
Thank God they never gave up on me and kept praying for me, even in my darkest days. Regarding me back in the day, boy, you better not lean on your own understanding when you're praying for this old boy to come to salvation. Or else you would have given up. You would have quoted that verse over my soul. Better not pray for that Esposito. Look at that heathen. I'm not, oh, Lord says don't pray. You see, you don't, only He knows that. You don't know that. You're to never give up praying for someone. Only God knows if they're going to receive Christ on their last day. You only He knows. You don't know that. You keep praying for them, even as my brother and others kept praying for me and never gave up. They didn't lean on what they saw. They just were persistent in prayer. Let me encourage you to do the same thing. Don't base on whether or not you pray for someone based on what you see with your eyes. Keep on praying for them. Only God knows if someday they will stop and receive Him. Okay, number 7. I should add to that too. But having the church give all of its tithes and offerings to UNICEF or to feed the hungry Muslims and Hindus and atheists in the world is a whole nother matter. You don't give up praying for someone, but the church is called to take care of its own. There's a difference. Number 7. No one is lost except for one. Judas Iscariot. The son of perdition, Jesus calls him. Isn't that funny? That's the same name the Apostle Paul gave to the Antichrist. The son of perdition. Do with that as you may. Now, verse 12 tells you why he was lost. You know, the church argues about it all the time. Oh, I wonder what happened. He tells you why right here. He says, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. He was lost so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, such as Psalm 41, verse 9. King David wrote, "Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." See, David was talking about Judas. He was the greatest prophet who ever lived, was King David. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Psalm 109, verse 8 says, let his days be few, and let another take his office, meaning apostle. Funny, Peter quotes this too on his sermon on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, verse 20, where Peter writes, it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, let no one live in it, and let another take his office. So you see, by hook or by crook, every jot and tittle in the Bible is going to come to pass. Amen. Jesus said in this prayer that Judas was lost because the Old Testament said it was. The Old Testament said that he was. That's why he was lost, because the Old Testament said that he was. You can rest assured that every jot and tittle in your Bible, Old and New Testament, is going to come to pass. Everything. Okay, next up. Jesus tells us the fact that the world hates Christians. Mike? The world hates Christians. Why? Because Christians aren't one of them. Because Christians aren't one of them. Because if you were one of them, they'd love you like they love everyone else. All the school board members, all the politicians, all the press, all the evil powers that be in this country, they would all love you if you were one of them and just like them. That's verse 14. He said it. I'm just the preacher. I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Now again, Jesus said it, not me. He's just declaring to you the facts. You know, unbelievers are always trying to bring you down. Have you ever noticed that? Be it friends, associates at work, especially family, when they want you sharing the same muck that they live in. They want to bring you down. Now, hear the truth. They hate you because you're not, he is saying they hate you because you're not from here. Listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:33. He says, do not be deceived. In other words, Esposito vernacular is don't kid yourself, friend. Don't kid yourself. Evil company corrupts good habits. It's like your wife saying to you, honey, the company's coming. Better watch out, because company's trying to bring you down. It wants you to suffer like they do. It's a spiritual truth. You might not see it, but I guarantee it. They want to bring you down. Jesus said, if the world hates you, he said, they hated me first. He said, if the world does not hate you, remember, it hated me first. And if you stand up for the truth, it's going to hate you too. But if you're a member of the Christian Secret Service, then I reckon no one will ever know whom you serve. And to that I say, you, friend, if that's you, you're on a slippery slope this morning. If the president would call you to give the invocation when he gets reelected here coming up later on this year, because everyone knows he's going to be reelected, if he calls you to give the invocation, friend, we need to talk in my office. Because if you stand for these things that the people we see out here in authority stand for, how could you be a Christian? If you won't glorify God now and stand up for at least something, how will you honor and glorify him later when there is a cost? That's C-O-S-T, by the way. if you're taking notes, when there's a cost involved later for glorifying him. You can do it now free of charge. Later, it's going to cost you something. If you don't do it now, you're never going to do it later. You can do it now and it's free. Glorify God by how you live. Glorify God by what you do. For that matter, glorify God by what you won't do. And then Jesus' axiom will apply to your forehead too. That the world hates you. So please take this the right way, what I'm about to say. I know my wife's going to tell me you shouldn't have said that. We'll bring it up over the dinner table, literally. Here it is. So go out and make some enemies today while you can. Now let me clarify that. Keep the cameras rolling. All you have to do today to do that is to glorify God. And you will have them. Remember what Paul said, you are chained. You're on the chain gang, church. But you're not chained to sin anymore. You are now chained to righteousness, the man in the glory. You got no choice. You're chained to it. You're chained to it. Show up at the next school board meeting where they want to empower teachers to help your son or daughter decide what sex they want to be. Can you imagine that, Amanda? Vinny going to school here this year, and the teacher said to Amanda, we think Vinny needs to be a girl. And you go, all right. You'd be in my office so fast, you wouldn't know what happened to you. Disagree with that, though. You say, That's when they start listening. Because you're now a threat. Because you glorify God by how you live is going to make enemies out here in this world. Support traditional marriage. Look at how hated Chick-fil-A is today. They are absolutely banned in many cities across America. They're banned in Boston and New York City. Because the owner, Chick-fil-A, believed marriage is between a man and a woman. Hires homosexuals to work there. He doesn't hate anyone. He believes God at his word. He believes God at his word. That's why he's banned in cities and they're banned across America. Politicians say, over my dead body, will I allow a Chick-fil-A in there? Why? Because you think marriage is between a man and a woman. You see, when you think that way, this world's going to hate you. And if it doesn't hate you, I question you. Why not? The doctor does. I'm a doctor too. Except, friend, I got 100% cure rate. If you do what I tell you to do, you'll walk out of these doors cured and healed, by golly. Glorify God with what you do. Leave your sin behind you when you walk out of here, and you will be healed. Okay. Verse 14 says, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Point number 9. Jesus does not pray for the rapture to remove you. Jesus does not pray for the rapture to remove you. No. He prays the Father will protect you through it and watch out over you. That's what he says. Verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of this world. Are you in line with what he is saying? You know, people pray that all the time. Oh, Lord, take me out of this world. Lord, take me out of this world. Lord, take me out of this world. And then over here, you got the Son of God saying, Father, don't take them out of this world. Don't take them out of this world. Something's got to give. You're going to end up getting frustrated when your prayers don't get answered, when you pray that God would take you out of this world, whereas Jesus is working behind the scenes, by golly, to turn you into spiritual giants. What does he say, Darren? He says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. And like we saw here on Wednesday night, endurance, approved character that takes no prisoners. Number 10, you are as much of a pilgrim and a stranger in this world as he was. I know that's a lot to write. You are as much of a pilgrim and stranger in this world as he was. Let me read that verse, Hebrews 11:13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Number 11. Jesus prayed his disciples would be set apart by his word. Let me read that again if you guys are writing. Jesus prayed his disciples would be set apart. That's what the word sanctified means. It means to be set apart. It means to be set apart for special use. When you read sanctified. And that's verse 17. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth. Separated. Separated from among everyone else in the world is what he's saying. He's praying this for you. Jesus is praying that you would be separated from this world and from everyone else in this world for special use. And that special use is, once again, to bring glory to God with what you do and by what you will not do. You are God's hands and feet, separated like two eggs. You know, you can't make all that great white fluffy stuff on a pie using egg yolks. What's that called again? Meringue, that's what it is. You got to separate two eggs. Reminds me of the Three Stooges when Curly is stuffing a turkey. He reads the directions and says, separate two eggs. So, and throws them both in. You got to separate them. They must be separated. God takes his torch to you then, poof, like they do on that meringue to get all that brown stuff. Woof. That's what he does. And then you proceed to turn this crooked world right side up. Got to be separated, though. You can't make meringue with egg yolks. You just can't do it. You know, I think we try to do that, don't we? All these half-baked, nasty-tasting meringue pies out there that got egg yolk in them. Got any chefs in here? Scott, I got a job for you. I want you to make a lemon meringue pie and leave the egg yolks in it and give it to Bill and see how it tastes. I'm staying out of that. And yet, isn't that what we do sometimes? By trying to bring glory to God and not be separate or separated? Number 12 is perhaps the greatest understatement this universe has ever known. Thy word is truth. Good Lord, where would we be without the truth? Without that truth? Without the only truth? Where would we be with no righteous standard in the world? The Holy Bible. Where everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Like Darren preached in here Easter Sunday, that profound message. He is the Word. He himself is the truth. Okay, now for this last division of this prayer. The Lord prays for you. Next up. And here's his prayer for you. Funny, or actually, it's maybe quite sad that this is the only prayer that I can recollect that the answer to this prayer was no. No. And I've learned in studying for this that I think this depends on us, which is why the answer is no, unlike all the others. His word is truth. You can't change it. But this one, obviously, look around. Let's read it now. He says, I do not pray for these alone. I'm in verse 20. But I pray for those who will believe in me. That would be you. I pray for those who will believe in me through their word. Now look what he prays. He prays that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us. So that the world may believe that you sent me. Apostle Paul is in perfect unity with this. He says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So what went wrong? Answer, sin in the house of God. Sin in the church, causing it to fracture. Sin, like pride above all else, and greed and selfish ambition, caused the church to fracture and split. For instance, the church's doctrine, or I should say, the Holy Spirit says, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to learn in silence. For Adam was formed first and then Eve. All right, now due to pride and selfish ambition, people refuse to sit under the authority of the Word of God anymore. And they break away, do their own thing, start their own denomination, or they corrupt an existing one. You see, so pride caused that prayer by the Lord Jesus not to get answered. This kind of stuff's been happening for years. 1 Corinthians 7:9, the Apostle Paul said, if a man can't exercise self-control, then he needs to get married. Hear that, Catholic Church? But the Pope goes, it's only 6%. There's nothing to see here. There's 48,000 Catholic priests. The Pope says only 6% are gay child molesters. There's nothing to see. That's no problem. You see, when you don't do what the Word of God tells you to do, one, you want to call us one? What, this whole church is fractured. Because this falls on us. Thy word is truth falls on him. That the church would be one falls on you and me. Falls on you and me by doing what he says in this book. It doesn't change because of what year you live in. It's always the same. We'll always follow it here. No matter what it says, no matter who is preaching here, no matter what year that we live in, we always hold that the word of God is truth here. Jesus said, thy word is truth. We believe that here. And I know that we always will. And we're raising up godly leaders here to continue to believe that long after we're dead, should the Lord tarry. And look at the end result that would have happened if we would have gotten that right. Verse 21, he says, so that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, so that they may be one in us, so that, wow, there's a triple so that, all in one verse. So that they may be one, as you are in me, and I in you, so that they may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. That is the cost of what happened here by not sitting under the authority of the Word of God, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, personally, we can't change that. However, we can change it inside of these four walls. We can make a difference right here where we are, and that is our unity glorifies God. It shows the people who come here, it shows we got a bunch of visitors here today. If visitors, if you haven't learned anything, you've learned that we sit under the Word of God here and we do what it says. You might not like all of it. It might taste like castor oil in some parts for you, but at least you can say that the people of Island Community Church sit under the Word of God and do what it says. At least we try. Our unity glorifies God and shows the people who come here and the people we come in contact with that the Lord Jesus Christ is real and that God truly did send his Son into the world and that the power of God can change a life and can change your life. And as we establish in this church, thy word is truth, then the world and our community will know that the Son of God is real and he's the promised Messiah. All right, lastly, number 14. The Lord prays that you and I would see heaven. And not only that, but that we would see his glory. He's praying that over you today. I'm going to ask you guys to come up. We're going to go out with a song here today. Listen to this verse. It's verse 24 here. He says, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am. Or may be with me where I am, so that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. Now, church, someday soon, I believe, you and I will see this prayer answered. Matter of fact, I guarantee it. I guarantee it that each and every one of you who have received the Lord Jesus Christ and have believed in his name, that one day, perhaps soon, perhaps today, you'll see his glory. And what a glorious day that will be.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
With a one-minute look at culture from a Christian worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Last week, appropriately on April the 1st, Scotland's new hate crime law went into effect. Anyone who refused to use someone's pronouns or accidentally misgendered a trans-identifying person could face criminal penalties. So in response, Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling posted a thread on X that exposed the absurdity of the law, especially that trans-identifying men, including predators, had somehow acquired legal protections for their misogyny, inequality, and harm. Even worse, any woman who protested could face arrest. Well, almost immediately, complaints about Rowling's tweets were filed with the Police Service of Scotland. But within a day, the police then announced that Rowling's comments were, and I quote, not assessed to be criminal and no further action will be taken. So Rowling tweeted in response, I hope every woman in Scotland who wishes to speak up for the reality and importance of biological sex will be reassured by the announcement. I'm thankful for her courage. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street.
91.5 FM. And 102.3 FM.